The last time Israel executed a prisoner was in 1962. The prisoner was Adolf Eichmann. Now the Israeli Knesset has passed a law that makes hanging the only punishment for Palestinians on the West Bank found in military courts guilty of killing Israelis. The law effectively demands capital punishment for Palestinians alone, as it applies only to killers deemed to be trying as terrorists to undermine the state of Israel. The new law has nothing to say about settlers killing Palestinians. When the law passed, 62 to 47, the chamber erupted in cheers, and Israel's National Security Minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, broke out the champagne. "This is a day of justice for the murdered, a day of deterrence for enemies," he told Parliament. "Whoever chooses terror chooses death." Joining me now is Mustafa Bargoti, physician and general secretary of the Palestinian National Initiative. He joins me from Israel. Mustafa, welcome to Late Night Live.
Thank you. I'm joining you actually from Ramallah in Palestine.
Ah, my apologies. Mustafa, okay. What is the Palestinian National Initiative that you lead?
The Palestinian National Initiative is, you could say, a third line in Palestine, which is totally independent from Fatah and Hamas. And it is a democratic political and social movement that advocates freedom for Palestinians, social justice among the people, and internal democracy. So it's a democratic, very lively movement. 80% of its members are women and young people. And you can say it's a movement of change, and it is the youngest party in Palestine.
Mustafa, what's your response to the new law?
It's a horrible thing what the Israeli Knesset has passed. And especially that two-thirds of the Israeli Jewish members have approved it. And that is a very bad indicator, because it is perceived as an act that reflects movements towards fascism in Israel, unfortunately. Especially that those who promoted this law were fascists like Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, who are boycotted by so many other countries, being illegal settlers in the occupied Palestinian territories. And as you have said, the reaction of this minister, Ben-Gvir, was shocking. He brought with himself a bottle of champagne. He started cheering up the passage of this fascist law. And he said something very dangerous. He said, now we were going to get them one by one. The problem with this law is that it is consolidating the system of apartheid. First of all, Israel has no right, contrary to the American statement, by the way, Israel has no right of imposing a law on occupied people, because we are under Israeli occupation, and Israel has no right, according to international law, to pass such a law.
Because the West Bank is not Israeli territory.
Part of Israel.
It's not part of Israel.
It's occupied.
Mustafa, can I pause things here? Because I'd like you to explain what you mean by fascist. It's such a big term. What do you mean when you call this law and those people fascist?
I mean, they are clearly and openly and shamelessly advocating killing Palestinians. They are very proud of the genocide that happened in Gaza, which took the lives of 72,000 Palestinians there, including more than 20,000 children. They make statements every day about annexing the occupied territories and displacing Palestinians. They say that all Palestinians, whether they are living in West Bank or Gaza, should be evicted and displaced in an act of ethnic cleansing. Nobody says these things unless they are absolutely extremist. And more than that, they are advocating killing Palestinians. And nobody is saying no to them. And that does not include only ministers like Smotrich and Ben-Gvir. Smotrich himself, the Minister of Finance in Israel, called himself a fascist homophobe. These are his words. So yes, we are talking about a very dangerous phenomenon. These people are dragging behind them the whole Israeli society into a very dangerous arena that would affect not only the future of Palestinians, but also the future of Israelis themselves.
The majority was large. There were 62 members of the Knesset voted for this bill. That goes way beyond the followers of an extremist like Ben-Gvir.
Well, you have to consider that those who voted against the law were two parts. First of all, 10 were Palestinian members of the parliament who are originally Palestinian. I mean, they have Israeli citizenship, but they are originally Palestinians. And the majority of the Jewish Israelis, two-thirds of the members of the Knesset, were Jewish Israelis. So that shows you the fact that 90% of the Israeli society now are supportive of the attack on Iran, for instance, and of the war itself is a very dangerous indicator. The fact that a majority of Israelis support the genocide that happened in Gaza is very alarming. That is the problem.
Ben-Gvir has been campaigning for a law like this for a long time, but would it have ever become law but for October the 7th?
Yes, I think they would have passed it anyhow. The issue here is not, you can't explain everything that is happening in Israel because of 7th of October. Because before 7th of October, we had the largest ethnic cleansing in our history when Israel, through terrorism, forced 70% of the Palestinian population to leave their towns. When Israel erased to the ground 526 communities and replaced them with Israeli settlements. And before the 7th of October, we've been under Israeli military occupation for more than 55 years. And this occupation was never going to end. I spent all my adult life under occupation, deprived from very basic rights. I was born in Jerusalem, and I worked as a medical doctor in the most important hospital in Jerusalem. And they don't allow me to go to Jerusalem now. I cannot visit my sister who lives in Jerusalem. Now Israel is closing down even worshiping places. They did not allow, for the first time in history, Palestinian Christians from reaching the Holy Sepulchral Church to celebrate Easter. This is the level of severe discrimination we are living under. And let me add to that now this law is consolidating the system of apartheid, a much worse apartheid than what prevailed in South Africa at one point of time. Even the regime, the apartheid regime in South Africa, did not dare to say that if a white man kills a black man, he's not executed, but if a black man kills a white man, he will be executed. Now they are applying that to us. A Palestinian accused of killing an Israeli will be hanged, but an Israeli killing a Palestinian will face nothing. You know, most of these Knesset members were hanging on their jackets, even women on their dresses, a sign of the rope that hangs people. Can you believe that? And then celebrating and drinking and saying we will get them one by one. Where did we see that except in fascist regimes?
On ABC Radio National, this is Late Night Live. I'm David Marr, and I'm talking to Dr. Mustafa Barghouti of the Palestinian National Initiative about the law just passed in the Knesset. Mustafa, how do you understand that this law will actually work? It will only be applied by the military courts in the occupied territories. What is the record of those military courts?
Horrible. In 96% of the cases, the military courts convicted Palestinians. On the other hand, as you know, there are gangs of Israeli terrorist settlers now moving around in the West Bank, burning houses, burning cars, shooting people. 10 Palestinians have already been killed by these illegal settlers. And they are functioning under the protection and support of the Israeli army, which equips them with the guns. Out of 10,000 cases of assaults on Palestinians in the occupied territories by Israeli terrorist groups, out of 10,000, only 4% of the cases were followed and there was indictment. And out of the 4%, only 2% of the cases were convicted. So imagine 10,000 attacks on Palestinians. Only 8 people were convicted. On the other hand, 96% of Palestinians who go to courts are convicted. That gives you an idea about what kind of system we are dealing with.
And how many attacks have there been by Palestinians on Israelis that would satisfy this new law in the last couple of years? Are we talking about thousands, hundreds?
No, I cannot give you a number. I don't have it now, and I don't know what they mean by it. But it is quite possible that some of the detainees that are already in Israeli jails, and we are talking about 10,000 Palestinians, some of them who have not been to court yet could be convicted with this using this law, especially that it says that you don't require for death penalty a consensus of the judges. I mean, if you just have a majority, they can pass the sentence and people will have no chance whatsoever to go for a higher court. And in 90 days, the execution will take place. And they also passed in this law another point, which is that those people who are convicted will never be allowed to be part of an exchange of prisoners, as has happened before. So practically, a good number of people who could be subjected to this law. And also, in addition to that, there is no guarantee that some of those who have already been judged and put in jail for life imprisonment, for instance, could reopen their case and then execute them.
Is your understanding that this law will act retrospectively, that it does not apply only to those deaths and those killings that occur from today onwards?
Yes, absolutely. I am convinced they will try to use it, especially with people like Ben-Gvir and Smotrich around. They will open cases, and I'm sure they have in mind certain names of certain Palestinians. And of course, you have to understand here, they call every Palestinian fighter for freedom a terrorist. And even political Palestinians who are struggling for our freedom, they accuse them of being terrorists. So if you are a Palestinian, you are automatically classified as terrorist. But if you are an Israeli illegal settler, stealing people's land, destroying their houses, burning their house, killing and shooting them, they're not called terrorists. They're called anything else.
I understand that Israel's intelligence services have, over the years, opposed death sentences. Is that your understanding? Why?
I think the Israeli security apparatus understand very well what happened in the history of Palestinian case. You know, before we had Israeli occupation, we were also occupied by Britain. And during the British mandatory time, the British executed several Palestinian leaders who were struggling for independence. And that led to the breakout of a huge Palestinian revolution, 1936 revolution. So I think the security system here in Israel understands that this law will not break people's will, but on the contrary, it makes more Palestinians want to struggle more. In my case, I prefer nonviolent ways, of course, and that's what I advocate. But it will lead that to the understanding that Palestinians will have to struggle even more strongly to get their freedom. Especially, I mean, one thing that this law sends as a message, one main message that is coming out of approval of such a law, is that Israel does not want to have a compromise with Palestinians. Israel does not want to have peace with Palestinians. They already killed Oslo Agreement. They already destroyed all existing political agreements that were signed between them and Palestinians. As a matter of fact, Netanyahu and his crowd came to power to kill Oslo Agreement, and he declared that. So the message that Palestinians are getting from the Israeli establishment is that there is no place for peace There is no place for a compromise. There is no place for coexistence. So what do we have to do? We have to struggle for our freedom.
The Israeli Supreme Court has power to strike down legislation. It's a very broad and interesting power. Could this law be struck down by the Israeli Supreme Court?
There is a little chance that this might happen, and that's why many Palestinian members of the Israeli Knesset are going to the court, to the High Court, and some human rights Israeli organizations are doing the same, hoping that the Supreme Court could stop it as a law that is unconstitutional. And as you know now, this will harm, some of them think that this will harm the claim that Israel is a democracy. Many people in the West keep saying Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. So what kind of law is that that is totally incompatible with democracy? So I think there is a chance, but it's not a very big chance, because we know that many judges that were appointed in the Supreme Court were appointed by this Israeli extreme government.
But there is an important international law issue here, is there not? That if the Israeli Supreme Court upholds this law, they will in a sense be saying that Israel has sovereignty over the West Bank.
Absolutely, which is a violation of international law. And there is no Israeli law that allows that. But you see here, this Israeli establishment, we're talking about Netanyahu, who declared the other day, the Prime Minister of Israel, that Israel is from the river to the sea, including the West Bank, Gaza Strip, and now he probably wants to annex big parts of Lebanon and Syria. And then the American ambassador, Mike Huckabee, came in supporting this view, claiming that this is a land that was given from God to Israel. And he even supported the idea of Greater Israel, which would include not only West Bank, Gaza, imagine, but also all of Lebanon, all of Jordan, two-thirds of Syria, half of Iraq, half of Egypt, and one-third of Saudi Arabia.
But
the kind of thinking we are facing here. And so, of course, this is illegal, and it's a violation of international law. But more importantly, it will consolidate and show to the world much more clearly the system of apartheid that we are subjected to.
Mustafa, just to go back to that, to be absolutely clear, Netanyahu has now said, am I right, that Israel extends from the river to the sea?
He did, yes.
In what context?
He said, from the river to the sea. Sorry?
In what context?
He said it in one of his speeches, that Israel is from the river to the sea. Well, and I spoke about that and said that in some Western governments and Western countries, some Palestinians who called for free Palestine from the river to the sea, and they meant by that at that time that all Palestinians and Israelis will be free from this system of oppression. Nevertheless, they were accused of being anti-Semitic for saying so.
Indeed.
While I did not hear a single Western statement against what Netanyahu said when he said from the river to the sea.
What has been the international response to the passing of this law, and do you think it will have any effect at all on the political outcome?
There was criticism of passing this law before it was passed by Britain, by Germany, by France, by, I think, several other European governments. United States of America supported it officially, claiming that Israel has the sovereignty and the right of passing this law, which is horrible. But at the end of the day, when countries like Germany and France say they are concerned and that's it, this will have no effect on Israel. Even if they say they condemn such an attack, it also will mean nothing to Israel. Even if they pass a resolution in the UN, we already have 1,000 UN resolutions condemning Israeli measures in the occupied territories, and that did not affect Israel. The only thing that will affect Israel is imposing sanctions and boycott on the measures they are taking, on this Israeli government. And here comes the big question, why do we see this double standard in this world? Why in the case of Russia 11,000 sanctions were imposed in the course of 2 months after their invasion of Ukraine. And in the case of Palestine, not a single sanction. Look, Cuba is under sanctions, Iran is under sanctions, Russia is under sanctions, China in a way is under some kind of sanctions, Venezuela was under sanctions. Nobody sanctions Israel,
Mustafa,
even when they are committing such horrible things.
Mustafa, thank you so much for joining us on Late Night Live.
Thank you. You take good care.
I've been talking to Mustafa Barghouti, Secretary General of the Palestinian National Initiative, about the new laws passed in the Knesset.